Hi, I'm Natalie from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hey, this is Edmund from Montana.
Hi, I'm Dan from Ypsilanti, Michigan.
The Sound of Young America is an independent production supported by listeners like you and me.
If you'd like to donate to support the show, visit MaximumFun.org.
And click on Donate.
Production of The Sound of Young America is underwritten in part by Ask Metafilter. Thousands of life's little questions answered. Online at ask.metafilter.com.
I'm Jesse Thorne, live on tape from my house in Los Angeles. It's The Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org and PRI, Public Radio International. It's The Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest on the show is one of America's most legendary single-panel cartoonists and an accomplished man in a number of other fields as well. Gayon Wilson is well known for his cartoons, especially in Playboy and The New Yorker, which for more than 50 years have brought a distinctive, loopily dark style to the page, often featuring ghouls and goblins and creatures of horror, as well as the occasional alien and monster under the bed. Gayon, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome to The Sound of Young America.
Thank you very much.
I read that you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you got your taste for this kind of the world of the dark and gory reading pulp magazines. Is that actually true?
Well, I think I was there a long time before I got to be old enough to read pulp magazines. I really don't know when it got started, but I always I was like spooky, and that's back to when I some strange event, I suppose. but I just feel sort of cozy with it. I enjoyed enjoyed it.
Even as a kid, like as a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old.
Yeah, it was. Halloween certainly had a good deal to do with it. Halloween at that one thing that's happened, which I find extremely sad, is that Halloween used to be this marvelously unique holiday in that it was strictly under the control of kids. And what would happen on Halloween is the kids would put on these costumes or something approximating a costume and get their trick-or-treat apparatus, and then they would leave the house, waving bye-bye to their parents, and go off amongst themselves, just a bunch of kids. But nowadays, it's very nice, and it's quite dear, and the kids go out, and still in costumes and all the rest of it, but they are always accompanied by a grown-up, which it is much more sensible and a more civically adult and everything else. But it wrecks the whole idea of Halloween as a kid's thing. And so I associated, and I think it's part of it, I associated spookiness and that sort of stuff with liberation.
It's sort of a traditional kind of holiday, is it? Like a topsy-turvy day.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, where the rich man, the pauper becomes king for a day, or the kids get to do whatever they want and wreak havoc on the adults for a day. It seems like that kind of topsy-turviness has been in a way a theme in your work as well.
It has indeed, yeah, yeah. And a nice sense of sort of life is really very interesting and sort of odd and mysterious. That's a heavy influence. I think it's a very heavy influence.
Did you want to be a cartoonist absolutely positively from youth?
Yeah, from very early on. I, like most of the people I know who've managed to make it in the arts, you get hit with it quite early, and you become obsessed with it, and you just, that's what you do. I mean, you're just determined to do it. I can remember, I don't know exactly how old I was, but I know I was sitting on the carpet, and it was obviously Sunday because I had the Sunday papers, and I had just read the comics section, and I looked at it, and realized that I wanted to be a cartoonist. It just came to me that that's what I wanted to do. And that's it. I was doomed from that time forward. And I had, before then, and after then, and forever onwards, I was a doodler. I was constantly doodling on things. And everybody that I know that has been successful in the visual drawing, painting business is the same way. They're just compulsive scribblers and scratchers on any kind of paper or whatever that's available. And that's that. It's something very, I don't know, that's it. You're that.
It's the Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest, Gayon Wilson, is one of the world's most successful humorous cartoonists. His work has run for more than 50 years in magazines like Playboy and The New Yorker. With exceptions, certainly, but the New Yorker cartoon form has a reputation for being somewhat highfalutin. This may be because of the context in which the cartoons run, but I can't imagine that it was that much different in the 1940s and 50s than it is today. What was it that made you think, as a guy who wanted to draw jokes about, creepy radiation monsters, think that was your venue?
Well, Charlie Adams I loved his stuff, and so that he was greatly important. So I tended to that from the beginning, from the get go. And my first the cartoon magazine thing was appeared in all sorts of magazines, including these wonderful magazines which are called pulp magazines. And the pulp magazines would have all kinds of trashy stuff, and some of it was very good, actually. But there were several of them that would be science fiction themes and spooky themes and so on. And I went to the Art Institute in Chicago and graduated, took a fine arts course because I had gone to a commercial school, which was very good, but I wanted to learn technique, and I wanted to learn really how to draw and really how to do it well. And so I think that was a good decision. And I went to New York and just eked by. My first sale was to a pulp magazine, and I got $7.50 for it, as I recall. And
do you remember what it was?
Yes, it was a very good cartoon. It was a a winter scene. The snow was falling and all that, and approaching the viewer was a man and his little son, and the father was holding the kid's hand, and the kid was holding his father's hand, and he was looking ahead enthusiastically and pointing and saying, "Look, Daddy, look!" And in the foreground, you saw this dead bird with its little claws poking up towards the sky, and the kid was saying, "Look, Daddy, look, the first robin." So that's how I got started. So the whole thing was set from there. And I never deviated. It was, it worked out.
There's a great cartoon in this collection that Playboy and Fantagraphics have just put out of your complete cartoons for Playboy.
Yeah, I'm very happy about that.
A stand-up comic who's performing in this kind of post-apocalyptic landscape for kind of a handful of bedraggled-looking people saying something like, "Well, I used to do jokes about the end of the world before the world ended."
Yeah, so my humor became not just macabre, movie style macabre, but also macabre politically, and has been. So the two intertwined very nicely.
I read this interview that you did
mm-hmm.
in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And in this interview, it was an interview at the time you were living in with your wife in Key West.
Yeah.
And it was, I want to say, the St. Petersburg Times or something like that. It's just something I came across on the internet.
Uh-huh.
And this author is talking to you about the different things that you're interested in.
Right.
At this point, I think you're 39 in this interview, something like that. And you're basically pitching this newspaper feature writer from the St. Petersburg Times on R. Crumb.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're trying to tell him why you think that Zap Comics might be a good thing. What did you think when the world of alternative comics opened up in the late 60s?
Oh, I was delighted because they were doing the same thing that I was doing. And it was, I thought, well, hooray. And I did have an effect. It was, and huzzah, huzzah. One thing that happened in that period was that this magnificent publication, The National Lampoon, started, and I wish it was still going on. When it ended, and now most everybody that was in it is in television or they're in movies or something, but. It was terrific because they wanted you to be as rough and tough as you possibly could. They whipped you into more, you know, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I was happy to do it and did spreads about all these different themes and didn't hold back on any of them. And then a very nice thing happened. I mean, this book, which I'm delighted it's out now, the Playboy collection, is going to be followed up with a collection of a thing I did also for the National Lampoon, which is a comic strip, which was is called Nuts, and it was about the origin of it was they took me aside. They said we're going to have a little comic book section. It'll be a strip comics at the end of the book, and we'd like you to be part of it and do a regular full page strip. Each issue, and would you? And I said, "Oh, well, I'd love to do it." And I said, "We want you to make it really horrible, really." and I said, "You bet." Okay.
This is at a time when the National Lampoon was doing some of the most intense.
Oh, it was
satire.
Yeah,
satire that we would think of as being very intense even today.
Oh yes,
it 35 was, years later.
Yeah, it's a shame it. The thing is not there because it really did have effect. We need something like that so badly. But so I started trying. I started to think. Well, let's see, something really horrible, really horrible. And I tried thinking of this, and I thought, no, then I sort of fell back on possibly. Well, let's see, monster. Monsters, something like that. And I just Frankenstein, time, dragon now, and then. I thought, what's really, really, what was off? What was really hard? What was really scary? And then I thought, of course, being a little kid. That's it, you know. And it's a true thing. You see, I don't know what's wrong with most grown-ups, but they seem to think children are these little happy little things. And I don't know what, have they forgotten everything? You know, because growing up is a very hard operation. It's terribly hard. You're going to see an incomprehensible world, and you try to make sense out of it, and you try to, take it seriously, and it just behaves in this absurd fashion. So you do the best you can. So that was what this Nuts thing was all about, and they're going to come out with a collection of, there was a book about 10 years, 20 years ago, maybe 15, I think it was, that had a collection of these Nuts strips, but this one will be the complete Nuts, and that's, I'm very, very happy. And that's what it was about, kids trying to make sense of the world, and it was an effective, as I say so myself, a way of sort of showing how unsensible the world is.
The title of Nuts, Nuts was a...
It was a reaction against Peanuts, really, because though I think Schultz did a very interesting strip, I don't think it was about children at all. It was a sort of a... he's a very religious fellow, was a very religious fellow, and I think it was a bunch of moral fables. And these little creatures that he had act out these teachings that weren't children. They were little figures doing a little thing which told you this or that point, you know. And I was having none of it. And so it was just, this is just, so that's why it was Nuts. But it's just about, it's about real little kids and how complicated they are. They're very complicated.
What were the kinds of experiences that you had as a kid that you didn't see reflected in that?
Well, it's the sort of thing
idea
that everybody has. So the bafflement and why do my parents act like this? I mean, why does my father act like this? Why does my mother act like this? Why do they act like this with their neighbors? What is this thing I'm seeing on the television that's just this bang, bang, boom, boom, and all these people getting killed? What is this person doing on the sidewalk crying? Why did this little kid get born blind? So on. Tough stuff. And the kids are aware of this stuff, and they have to handle it. And the parents have this absurd, they seem to not understand that these kids are extraordinarily perceptive. It's sometimes, I mean, and if you talk to a little kid, it's just eerie. I mean, they really see this stuff. You just talk to a little kid like a person, like it was a human being, which it is, and it will open up and it will start telling you these things, and it will say all kinds of things which are amazingly bright and perceptive.
It seems like one of the things that often marks your cartoons is a surprising perspective on something that's may or may not be surprising in and of itself. And I was thinking about, you know, thinking about how a kid sees the world as a kid sees the world, rather than as an adult perceives a kid to see the world.
Yeah,
it's not that distant from you know, you have a lot of cartoons that feature a space alien looking at something.
Exactly. There's a very definite parallel between and the whole monster thing is just about. Do you feel awkward? Are you embarrassed at any point? Do you feel like you don't fit in this particular situation or that particular situation, and so on and so on? I mean, a lot of it's allegory, of course.
At the same time, your work, in contrast to say Adams or Illica, or even like another, like an Edward Gorey, other sort of macabre cartoonists, mm-hmm. your work is exploding. Every character has these grotesqueries that, rather than being tight and sharp, are blooming out, you know, great festering boils on things and arms stretching too long.
Right,
and,
yeah.
You know, a lot of tentacles, heavy on tentacles. Mm-hmm. How do you think you ended up with this style where everything seems to be spilling out of itself?
Yeah, I like to draw these characters with lots of wattles and all that sort of stuff, too. It's fun. It's humanity, you know, which we're bumping along. There is an enormous affection in all these things. I criticize and I rant and rave in these cartoons because I love people and I think we're just wonderful, and I think it's such a terrible shame that we treat each other so badly that we hurt each other. And why we should stop? There's all kinds of things in our history showing how lovely we are, how beautiful. I mean, we produced a Bach, we produce Shakespeare. I mean, we are capable of being incredible. And so let's do it.
Are you ever tempted to draw or paint something with the objective being to make it as beautiful as it can be?
Oh yeah, sure. I paint just for myself. But yeah, I'll have to. It's delightful to paint something pretty. Yeah.
How is that exercise different than it is to draw some to try paint something grotesque for you?
It's a little different because I'm just relishing how nice it is, and I'm just enjoying the moment. Loving the moment, loving that whatever I'm painting, and as I say, the anger in the cartoons is because come on, let's enjoy it. Let's do that.
Well, Gayan, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the Sound of Young America. It was such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much. I very much enjoyed talking to you.
Gayan Wilson is a legendary American cartoonist. You can catch his cartoons regularly in a number of publications, and he's just released with Fantagraphics and Playboy a spectacularly beautiful three-volume collection of his complete cartoons for Playboy that are reproduced just spectacularly beautifully in big, full-color, full-page operations. Thanks again, Ken.
You're very welcome.
That's our time for another Sound of Young America program. I have been your host, Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart. The show produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Edited by Nick White in Chicago. Our music provided to us by Dan Wally. Our outgoing intern is Mariel Reyes. Our sincere thanks, and by our sincere thanks, I guess I mean my sincere thanks, since no one else works here, besides Nick, who's the editor part-time. So me and, I think I can speak for Nick, me and Nick's sincere thanks to Mariel for a number of months of really superb service and just an absolutely great attitude. Great intern. Thank you very much, Mariel. Thanks, Mariel. If you have thoughts about the show, you can email us at jesse@MaximumFun.org. And again, by us, I mean me. And you can visit us online at MaximumFun.org if you want to download any of our shows absolutely 100% for free. And yes, I said any of our shows, The Sound of Young America, but also Jordan Jesse Go and the Coyle and Sharp podcast and our other podcast-only productions. We'll see you next time right here on The Sound of Young America.